So this morning we want to look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we want to read verse in the Bible. And it's simply God's great and precious promises. God's great and precious promises. But you know, when we start to think about the promises of God, what one person said, that there was, somewhat around 30,000, promises, in the Word of God. Now, I just have to take the writer's word for this, because I haven't counted, 30,000, but yet there are so many. Just about every page of the Bible has a promise. And so we need to look at that this morning. And so let's read this verse. It says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and we thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings of the day that you've already blessed us with. Lord, we're grateful for the promises. We're grateful for the truth and the fact that we know the truth. Father, I pray that you'll help us this morning. Help those that are here. Help those that are watching, viewing. And Lord, we're just so grateful for how you've touched our lives. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart. But Lord, we also know that there's some with burdens, there's some with trials, there's some with discouragement. And Lord, we just pray that you'll meet every need as you can. And Lord, you know the need of every heart, each person. And Lord, how that you can meet every need. So Father, Lord, we ask for your help this morning, and we're grateful for all that you do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For many, now that we're a week past from Easter, for many, the excitement of Easter has passed. Families have those that were able to get together. Families have gone home. They've gone back to their routines of life. The ones that were off work or were able to be off work, they have gone back to work. And so for the world, holiday is over. Now we're looking to something else. A week now has passed, and things, not much is talked about when it comes to Easter. But I'm still reminded of the scripture that says, "He is risen as he said." I'm still reminded this morning of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I'm still reminded of the proof by the empty tomb. I'm still reminded of what he has done for us and the fact that Christ, as what's already been mentioned this morning, that Christ is no longer on the cross. You see, everything that we understand this morning and everything that we believe this morning based upon the Word of God comes because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, what we believe in salvation through Jesus is not just a thought or an afterthought, but it's been proven. A lot of religions, there's no proof in what they say. But yet there's proof when it comes to the Word of God. And so when we think about this morning, we have to remember that Jesus did what he was set out to do. Jesus spoke and it came to pass. Jesus was and is a man of his word because he is the Word. And so he is the man of action, because he not only spoke, but it was and he did. He was and is one that is worthy of our trust. Because you see, trust is very important. So this morning I would like to consider the words taken from this verse, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises. You see, what's so special about these promises? What's so special about what is being proclaimed here? These are promises from God. These are promises from God. When I was young, we were growing up, and I remember I was somewhere around about the fourth or fifth grade, and we were living down east around the Goldsboro area. And I had a brother-in-law that they would come and visit. They lived in Virginia Beach. They lived in Norfolk. He and my sister were professors in two different colleges. And my brother-in-law would come and he would visit. And I was young and I was, I guess you would say, kind of naive with my thinking. And he would say things like, "I'll do this and I'll do this for you. I'll do this or I'll do that." And so I was young and kind of naive. And so, you know, I was raised that your word is very valuable. And I still believe that today, that your word is who you are and your words take action. And so he would tell me this or that, and he would say, "I'll do this for you," or "I'll do that for you." But he would always end it with, "I'll do it tomorrow." And he would say, "I'll do this tomorrow," or "I'll do that tomorrow." And so when I would kind of ask him, "I thought you were going to do this," and he would say something like, "I'll do it tomorrow." And so after a little bit, I got to where I was losing my trust in what he would say. And so he would do it as a joke, and his excuse would be, "I use the phrase tomorrow because tomorrow never comes. Because when tomorrow is, it's today." But yet for a young mind, I took it serious. And so a word and a promise is very important. It's very important. And so when you lose trust in someone, when you lose trust, then you're not thought of as highly, or you don't think of that person so highly. And so we think about this, and we think about the promises that are given to us in the Word of God. And so when we think about these things, we think of these precious promises. You see, Peter, in this passage of Scripture, not only describes the promises as being great, but he says they're exceedingly great. And he says that about these promises. But our focus this morning is not as much about the promises, but it's about the one who gave the promise. It's the one who gave the promises. Now, as I said before, someone noted that there's around 30,000 promises in the Word of God. But the important thing is not knowing how many. The important is knowing the one who gave the promise. Just like I lost trust in my brother-in-law, and although he was joking, there was still always a doubt in what was said, no matter what was being said. In the back of my mind, there was always a doubt. As I got older, that doubt continued. Well, I can encourage you this morning that you need to rest your thoughts, your hearts, and your minds on one that will never fail you. And that is none other than the Lord. He will never fail you. But I want to look at a verse found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expedient end. For I know the thoughts that I have for you, saith the Lord." I know the thoughts. You see, this promise is given by God. This promise does not mean that we will not have pain in this life. This promise does not mean there's not going to be suffering. This promise does not mean that we're not going to have hardships. But it does mean that God will see us through to the glorious conclusion. You see, we're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. We're going to have difficulties. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have things that come in our life that we don't like. But yet, He's going to help us get through each and every one of them, if we allow Him to do so, because that's the promise. You see, the promise. And we always have to remember, and we always have to understand this morning, that we are living in a sin-cursed world. We are living with the thoughts of everything goes. We are living in a very difficult part of life. We are living, and it's nothing new. It's been going on from generation to generation and generation, and will continue until the Lord straightens it out. So we rest upon the promises of God. And we rest upon those promises because of who has given them. Who is the one that is giving these promises? What makes these promises so special? Is it the actual promise? Are we relying on the actual promise, or are we relying on the one that is giving the promise? You see, that's where our hope is. Our hope is in the one giving the promise. Because if our hope is in the one giving the promise, then the promise brings us hope. You see, sometimes we read a promise in the Bible, and sometimes we focus on that promise as we should, but we fail to focus on the one giving the promise. You see, our hope this morning is not as much as in the promise, but as the one giving the promise, the one that makes sure the promise is going to happen. You see, He's the one that makes sure the promise is going to happen. So this morning, I would like to focus on the giver of these promises as much as the promise and the promises that are given. So what's so special about these precious promises? Well, the Bible says that they are exceedingly great and precious promises. Well, we must consider the source of these promises. We must consider the source of these promises. You see, God's promises are precious because it's God that makes them. God's promises are precious because it's God who makes those promises. The source is the key to the promise. The source is the key to the promise. If you go on to some of the social media sites, and you know, and it could be a number of, there's so many I can't even keep up with them. But some of the social media sites will have a phrase. And they will have a phrase that in our minds, well, that sounds logical and that sounds good. And so you'll get, you know, a person will get, you know, so many likes or so many followers or anything such as that. And it'll make almost like, well, there's a lot of truth in that statement. But you see, our truth is not as much in the statement when it comes to as a believer. But our truth is in the one that gives the statement, that gives the promise. You see, our focus this morning is in the one that gives. Because the ones that we might read possibly on social media, you don't know that person's life. And although it sounds good, they may make another statement that's just bad. But the point is, knowing the one that makes the statement, knowing the one that makes the promise, is the one that we can trust. It's the one that our focus is on. So our source of these promises are God. You see, our source. When God makes a promise, we know He will honor the promise. When God makes a statement, we know that He will honor that statement. You see, promises are based on His sovereignty. Promises are based on His righteousness. Promises are based upon His holiness. Promises are based upon His justice. Promises are based upon His mercy, and the promises of God are sure. So when we read these promises, and when we read these verses, we know they are true because of the one who has given them. We know where they're true because our focus is not on the promise, but our focus is on God. You see, we must understand the author of those promises. The author of those promises. So we must understand the source of those promises. But then we must kind of consider not only the source, but we must consider the size of these promises. And we think to ourselves, well, what do you mean by size? What do you mean by size? Peter makes a point in this verse and in this statement. He makes a point. He describes God's promises as great. He describes God's promises as great. And more than that, they are exceedingly great. They are exceedingly great. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stopped to truly think about the promises of God? We claim many verses. I've claimed them, and you've claimed them. And we've claimed many verses, and it helps us. It encourages us. A lot of times when we're facing, doctor visits, when we're, I've told you this story, but I struggled with having an MRI, and they were doing an MRI because they had thought I'd had a stroke. And so I struggled with it, and I didn't realize how claustrophobic I was because that tube got smaller and smaller and smaller. You that have ever had your head examined, which is truly what I was having. They put that thing over your head and the first couple of times I'll just put it so they don't show me where the panic button is. Because I hit it many times. And the woman was like, I hear you. but later on I got to where I was able to have the thing. And the ones that, the passage of scripture that came to my mind that I was repeating over and over was, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a promise. You see, there's so many promises, and you've maybe had some experiences such as that. And even when you've been delivered maybe bad news or news that you really wasn't wanting, you still have the promises of God. Well, why do we have the promises of God? They're more than just words, because the author is God. You see, there's size. I want you to think about this just for a minute as we think about some promises of God. He not only makes provision for our redemption based upon what the Bible says, but for our eternal redemption. You see, our redemption is not only for now, but our redemption is for the future. He not only gives us life, but the promise of abundant life found in John 10:10. The prior one that I said was in Hebrews 9:12. He not only gives us His joy, but the fullness of joy, which is on in John 15:11. He not only gives us peace, but the promise of perfect peace, which is Philippians 4:7. He not only promises His forgiveness, or He not only promised the forgiveness that we have, that we can be forgiven, but most importantly, He promises of His forgiveness. His forgiveness. And I thought about that. That's in Jeremiah 31:34. And I thought about that just for a minute. And the most important one, because there's going to be people in life that you may hurt by mistake, or maybe you say something or you do something and you might ask them to forgive you, and they may or may not. I hope that they do. But you know, the most important is to have Him forgive you. Amen. To have Him forgive you. He not only guarantees heaven, but His promise is heaven with Him. His promise is heaven with Him. John 14:2-3. He not only offers us His grace, but He promises that grace will be sufficient for every need. You see, we claim these verses, and that's in 2 Corinthians 12:9. We claim these verses, and we rejoice, and we have hope in these verses, and we read these words. But you see, our true hope is in the one given these verses. The one given these. So the size is beyond measure. What about the sufficiency? What about the sufficiencies of these promises? What about the sufficiency of Him giving them? You see, these promises of God are precious because they cover every conceivable human need. Not only now, but eternity. Not only now, but eternity. The verse that comes to my mind is Philippians 4:19. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see, God's promise to supply our need is not only out of His abundance, but according to His abundance. That's something to think about. Not only is this promise given from His abundance, but it's according to His abundance. His abundance. All sufficient are His promises because He's the one that has given them. And then lastly this morning, when we think of the precious promises, I'm thankful for the simplicity of His promises. Simple. Simple. Sometimes we can get very complex. And if you've ever had someone try to show you something or try to explain something to you, there's a guy that I know, there's a person that I know, and so you'll ask him something. And you know, you'll say, "Well, how's this doing?" or "How's that doing?" And you know, you're just wanting a yes or no answer, or you're just wanting a what they called in school a cliff note version. But there are some people, and I mean this with no disrespect, but there are some people that there's just times that you don't need to ask them anything because they're going to be with you for the next 20 or 30 minutes. And all you wanted was a yes or no answer. And I mean that with respect. I don't mean that. It's just some people are more detailed than others. And sometimes you need details. And sometimes you just need a simple yes or no. But the point is, when it comes to the simplicity of God's promises, they're precious because they are clear. They're clear. They are easy to find because they are everywhere. In the Word of God, these promises are everywhere. They're very easy to understand. You see, it's not the understanding, but it's the faith that it takes to understand. When God says, I'll supply all your need according to His riches and glory, I shared that verse with you, then that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty simple. But when it becomes challenges, is when we struggle believing it. Because sometimes we're in the situation that we're saying, well, I claim this verse, and then we use the word, but, and we'll say, but, I'm still struggling. Or, but, I'm not seeing it happen. Or, but, and then we start struggling with our faith. But God makes it clear. As I said in the beginning, God doesn't promise us that we're not going to have pain. God doesn't promise us that we're not going to suffer. God doesn't promise us that we're not going to have challenges in life. But what He does promise is the fact that He'll be with us. The Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean that He's going to be with you during the good times, but He's going to be with you during the good times, the bad times, the ugly times, and every time in between. Because that's His promise. But it's not the promise we focus on, but it's the person of that promise because God said it. You see, that's where our promises are. So they're easy to understand. They're also easy to claim. They're also easy to claim. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and you know this verse, but I want to read it to you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Nowhere does it say, I'm going to understand everything. It doesn't say, we know that all things work together for good because I understand them. There's going to be some things in life that we just simply don't understand, nor will we ever understand, but we can rest on the one that said the promise because He is the giver of the promise, and He knows, and we know that He is true because He is truth. And we can rest assured that He wants what's best for us. You know, let's think about it as we were growing up. There's things that our parents told us not to do. They would say, don't do that. Well, we didn't understand why not to do it. There were times that my grandmother told me she had a wood stove, and she actually used the wood stove to cook on just about until she couldn't cook anymore. And she would tell me, stay away from the stove. Stay away from the stove. And I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why. But guess what? I eventually understood why. If I would have listened, and if I would have stayed with those words, I wouldn't have experienced the pain that I experienced. Now, did I touch it again? Absolutely not. Did I learn my lesson? Absolutely, I did. Did I respect the stove? I sure did. But the point is, if we just listen and claim those promises, and it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that because nobody wants to hurt. Nobody wants to have pain. But God gives us something. Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You see, we had the word in our heart. And I can give testimony that more times than not, when I was going through some difficulties and when I was going through some battles and when I was going through even some wrong decisions, there would be a verse that come to my mind that I haven't thought of in years. Maybe I haven't read it in years. And there would be a verse that come into my mind because one day I hid it in my heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and He helped me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, the Bible says, "For all the promises of God in Him are ye, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." You see, these promises are truly a blessing. These promises are truly a blessing. Not only because of the content, but they're a blessing because of who gives them. The author of these promises is who we trust. You see, people will disappoint you, knowingly or not knowingly. People will sometimes fail you, innocently and not innocently. There'll be disappointments in life, but I promise you this morning, based upon the promises of God and based upon the author of those promises, He'll never fail you. Amen. He'll never fail you. Doesn't mean we'll understand everything, but He'll never fail you because we can rest in Him. You see, God's great and precious promises are great and precious because of the author, and that is the Lord. I don't know what need you might have this morning. I don't know what you might be struggling with. But I challenge you this morning, focus on the giver of the promise. Focus on the giver. When we focus on the giver, then the promises would be more natural to believe. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Father, as we have this invitation, Lord, we pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, that doesn't have that relationship, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know You, convict that heart. But those that might be struggling in various ways, they've claimed promises and they've quoted verses, but the focus hadn't been on the One that gave the promises. Father, I pray that they'll come and just talk to You. Lord, You're the one that does the work. You're the one that changes the heart. You're the one that helps the individual. And we rest upon the promises this morning, Lord, because of You, because of the giver. So, Father, I pray that You'll give each person that's here this morning what they need. And those that are watching, Father, if there's someone struggling, Lord, I pray that they'll come and focus on the giver and talk to You. We ask Your blessings this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.